Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti, and my good friend Stephen Garchar is on his way to the studio, and I think he's here by phone. Steve?
Hello?
There
he
is.
Phil?
Woo.
Do you hear me?
There he is. I hear you.
Oh, so, excellent.
So, Stephen will be here shortly, so.
I will.
Since he can't read the scripture reading while he's driving. And, as much as I encourage people to read God's word, it's not a good idea to read it while you're driving.
No.
Especially if you're going 75 miles an hour on the interstate.
That's true.
Anyway, so the last, I don't know how many weeks we've been talking about Pentecost, at least the last four.
I think the last four, yep.
Yeah, and the last couple of weeks, we talked about Peter's speech or Peter's sermon or Peter's teaching, which occurred Pentecost morning. And you can go back to hear those shows if you would like on our website, which is giftofgraceministries.org. And if you look under a radio show, you'll find all the radio shows going back to 2009. There's a lot of radio shows there. We should probably condense some of them. Anyway, the last couple have been about Peter speaking. And of course, we talked about what a change there had been in Peter. And needless to say, since we were also talking about a full outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the change that happened in Peter and the rest of the people that were in the upper room was not a temporary thing. In other words,
right,
3 or 4 days later, Peter didn't go back to how he was before. He continued.
Exactly.
They all continued preaching and, as you all know, went all around the known world preaching the gospel. And we're going to start today by talking about another thing that Peter did, and I hope this doesn't turn into five shows. And it's in the following chapter, in Acts chapter 3. And you'll know immediately, since you've all been studying the word for a long time, that Acts chapter 3, the beginning of it is the curing of the lame man at the gate Beautiful that done through Peter and John. We should redo that show sometime, too. That was a good show. That's a great, a great passage of scripture. But since we were into Peter preaching, now that he was spirit filled, I thought we would talk about what happened as a result of that miracle that was done through, and we have to emphasize through, Peter and John. Peter and John did not do it. They did not cause the man to be healed. They didn't have that kind of power within themselves to heal paralyzed people.
Right.
But the Lord used them in a mighty way to do this amazing sign, this amazing miracle that then led to Peter speaking again. So I'm going to read the scripture, but Steve, do you want to add anything to that first?
No, I think that's a good introduction.
Okay. So we're doing good. Yeah. So we're in Acts chapter 3, and we're going to start down in verse 13. So picture that the paralyzed man has already been cured. Actually, let's start at 12. Let's start at verse 12, which says, "So when Peter saw it," which meant the people were amazed at what had happened to the man, "when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, 'Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why do you look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the Just and asked for a murderer to be granted to you and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, who you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. He must not have been a Southerner. He didn't say y'all. In the presence of you all. Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance and did also your rulers. But these things which God foretold by the mouth of his prophets that the Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the time of the restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. I'm going to pause there for a minute because, well, actually, no. In 22, he quotes from Deuteronomy, which is an awesome book. Verse 22, "For Moses said to the fathers, 'The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. He you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you. And it shall be that every soul who does not hear that prophet will be utterly destroyed from among the people.' Yes, and all the prophets from Samuel to those who follow, as many as have spoken, have also foretold of these days. You are the sons of prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, 'And in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed.' To you first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you and turning away every one of you from your iniquities." Woo. Now, this is our friend Peter again. I mean, Peter's pretty awesome. Yeah. Wow.
What's gotten into Peter?
He got filled. He was at what they used to call a Holy Ghost revival.
Yeah. See, that's where that came from.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what's gotten into you?
Yeah.
Peter, what's gotten into you? I've been filled with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
I'm a new man.
Yeah, man. Once those 120 people, which, as you know, of course, was pretty much the whole church of that morning. once those people came out of the upper room, man, there was the church spread pretty fast and was much more exciting than it had been a couple hours before.
Right.
So Peter points out, like we just said, that I don't want you guys to think that, John and I did this.
Right.
Because we're so powerful or we're so godly or we're so holy. I don't want you to think that we did this. And because this miracle's happened and all these people are there and they've seen the miracle, Peter takes advantage of this to preach the gospel to them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
You know, as you're reading the passage there, you know, Peter rightly instructs them that this isn't, you know, why are you staring at us? You're looking at us as if, you know, we've got this power to do this. If you think about scripture and the Old Testament, there were no healings in the Old Testament. Not that I'm aware of anyway. There was the flask of oil and the flour that stayed when Elijah came to the widow and those types of things, but there were no physical healing. People, you know, someone who was blind can see, someone who was crippled could walk, those types of things.
Mm-hmm.
But now with the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit is upon them, and these, you know, the anointing is there, and Peter's proclaiming this, you know, Jesus risen from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a realization, understands that it was Christ who died, who was crucified and rose from the dead, and that power that came upon them in the upper room that day at Pentecost was the foretold promise that Jesus had spoke of from the Father.
Yeah.
So he knew it wasn't his own power.
Yeah.
And he knew quite well whose power it was, and that he was just a willing vessel for God to use.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah.
Because, you know, going back to what the prophet Isaiah said in chapter 61, and then Jesus quoted from it in Luke 4 at the synagogue at Nazareth. You know, there's this messianic promise that the blind see, the hear, the deaf hear, mm-hmm. the lame walk. And this, you know, Isaiah says, this is going to be a sign when the kingdom of Messiah comes into the world. And so these people, and many of them, had known who Jesus was, had probably seen him, may have experienced some of the miracles, some of the signs, probably heard him speaking. And now they see these two guys who, through them, this paralyzed man is healed that everybody knows. You know, Peter points out, you all know this guy. So you know this is the same guy who's now dancing around in the temple. And, you know, the word clearly points out he just didn't get up and say, gee, well, thanks, you guys. I don't know who you guys are, but if you healed me, that's great. If Jesus healed me, that's great. So thanks. I guess I'm going to go home and, you know, clean myself up and go look for a job. No, this guy was like running around the temple, dancing around the temple, praising God. So they all see this guy, and, you know, 15 minutes ago, he was the guy who was, you know, had these shriveled up legs and was sitting next to the gate.
Right. And then he's restored.
Yeah. So they know this is a miracle.
And, you know, as you were saying, these miracles started happening when Jesus began his public ministry.
Yes.
You know, and after he was baptized in the Jordan.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And so the people in Jerusalem are seeing a continuation of these miracles of people, of the lame being healed, you know, being able to walk where they weren't able to walk before. There's going to be other miracles that they're going to perform as well.
Yeah, because now the kingdom's now broken in.
So as you said, it didn't just happen for a day or two that it stopped. It continued.
Yeah.
Just as, like, when we talk about in the book of Moses, or not the book of Moses, but when Moses is there in the camp and the Spirit comes upon the 72 and they prophesied once and that was it.
Yeah.
But this is a full outpouring of the Holy Spirit that remains.
Oh, yeah. And Peter's going to go on preaching and, you know, ministering to people for, you know, another 30 years or so before he's finally killed.
Right.
So this is not going to be a one-time thing. And I think it's interesting, too, as I was thinking about this the other night, that this happens actually in the temple.
Yeah.
So there's all kind of people that are, you know, kind of walking around. There's people. It said earlier in the chapter that it was time for the afternoon prayer, which was at about 3 p.m. So a lot of people would have been coming into the temple because it was the traditional time to do the afternoon prayer, and a lot of people would be in the temple anyway. So this guy gets healed, and he's like dancing around when all these other people are there. So just like he did at Pentecost morning, Peter has a ready audience to do another sermon.
So this guy's disrupting everybody's prayer time.
Exactly. And they say, dude, we can't have people jumping around in here. This is the temple. But he was jumping around anyway.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at the scene, it's time for prayer. And as you said, Peter has a big audience.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people assembled together there.
Yeah.
They're going to witness this.
Yeah.
This mighty act of God.
Yeah. And Peter takes advantage of this. Because here's a miracle. Here's all these people in front of him. And he says, hey, guess what? This guy was healed because of Jesus. And people were used to teachings going on at the temple. They were used to the worship services at the temple and, of course, the sacrifices. And, You know, they were at Solomon's Portico. I mean, even Jesus would teach at Solomon's Portico. So this was a really strong association between the people, the traditions that they had, the law and scripture that they had, the fact that the priests were there. I mean, all this sort of came together. And even though Peter was not a Levite, he was not a priest, he wasn't exactly, you know, someone who had studied the Tanakh for 30 years. he does a pretty good sermon now that he's spirit filled.
Yeah.
And he really connects with these people. And, you know, when you see a miracle like that, and if you walked into the temple for prayer time, even if you did it a couple of times a week and you saw this guy sitting there every time you went, and now you saw this guy dancing around, you would be pretty amazed.
Yeah.
And so Peter naturally has their attention. Just like the people that were amazed on Pentecost, where they heard the driving wind, they heard these people talking, you know, people are they're understanding these people in their own language. You know, he's got their attention because they know something unusual is going on.
Yeah.
That
exactly.
And he says, you know, John and I were not necessarily really godly, holy, powerful people, but we've been used by the Lord for this. And now we're going to take this opportunity to have a little talk with you guys because you guys know who Jesus was and you heard about everything that happened here. And so he addresses this thing to the quote men of Israel. I mean, he's talking to these people that are there and, you know, he tells them they should be excited about this, but yet they're the ones that handed Jesus over. They're the ones that wanted him killed, even though Pilate was ready to release him.
Right.
So, I mean, Peter just really, really gives it to him. I mean, he really lays it on them. You delivered him up.
Peter speaks directly to the point, the truth of what happened, and the truth of the matter.
Yeah.
And that's what's so powerful about his preaching and his message in these two instances.
Yeah.
He testifies to what the Word of God says about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. He testifies to who Jesus Christ is. He testifies to what Jesus Christ has done for us. And he brings it to that point of, so what are you going to do about it?
Yeah, exactly.
You have a decision to make now because you're confronted with the truth. Do you accept it or do you reject it?
Ooh. Oh, we're on a break already. I hear a Paul Wilbur song coming. Anyway, remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be right back.
He became sin, who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness. He humbled himself and carried the cross. Love so amazing.
Listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. Before we go on, let me say that clearly it was not Paul Wilbur.
Yeah, it was Paul's cousin.
Yeah, it was Paul's cousin, Chris Tomlin. Or it might have been Paul Wilbur's Chris Tomlin imitation. But you see, that's why I'm not the music minister.
Oh, my.
Yeah, you know, it's, plus there were way too many major chords in that song.
Oh, yeah.
But that's an awesome song.
It is.
Can you play play that some night at One in Messiah?
I could, yes.
Yeah. Oh, which brings to mind, Steve and I have a relatively new ministry called One in Messiah, and we meet on Friday evenings at, well, either 6 or 6:15. By the time we start, it's usually 6:15, and we meet in Parma at 5994 Ridge Road, which is New Life Fellowship, and we do pretty much what you hear on the show in terms of teaching, connecting Old Testament and New Testament, and Steve does some awesome messianic praise music and some, what do you want to call it, normal Christian praise music.
We're worshiping God in spirit and in truth, man.
Amen. And we try to keep it to within an hour and a quarter, hour and a half at the most. And if you get a chance to stop by, that would be awesome. And one woman who stopped by, actually she's come to the last couple and said that she's been listening to the radio show for some time. And she said, wow, I can't believe I'm seeing you in person. And I told her, I look much better on the radio than I do in person. But anyway, so Peter gets right into this thing about how amazing it is that Jesus died and he was resurrected. And he was, not only was he resurrected, but we were witnesses of this. We saw him suffering. You know, we saw him, although, you know, Peter saw it from quite some distance. John saw it from right under the cross. You know, he saw this happen. They were witnesses of the resurrection. And he takes this opportunity, because these people are marveling at the miracle, to tell them Jesus literally died, was put in the tomb, and then he rose. And he goes on to basically tell them that Jesus was sent by God, was the Son of God. And just to sort of hammer home the point, since we're talking to a Jewish audience, he says the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob did this.
Yeah.
Now, to these people, this would have been a very powerful thing to say. Because in the Old Testament, when God identified himself, he's commonly said, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Because that led, you know, there was no doubt then as to who was talking. And the people knew, the patriarchs, what role they had played in getting a revelation from God, how God had given them, you know, they had sort of direct communication with God. So when God said, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, there was no question who was talking here.
Exactly.
Yes, and that's pretty neat. And then he, again, says, you know, you guys ought to really learn some scripture, too, and you've been going every Saturday morning and fallen asleep while the rabbi's been preaching, but the prophets tell us that the Christ has to suffer in order to come into his glory. The Christ had to be the suffering servant. You know, Isaiah 52 and 53, sort of the best example of that. But but there are others. the suffering servant, the what many of the ancient rabbis called Mashiach ben Yosef, the Messiah, son of Joseph, who would suffer for the people. And all this has been foretold by the prophets. And if you guys knew the prophets, you guys would get that Yeshua, Jesus, was this Messiah that was promised to the patriarchs, promised to the fathers, came and suffered for you, died for you. He's the message of salvation was all about him. But what did you guys do? You called him a blasphemer. You said he was demon possessed. You condemned him. You delivered him over to Pilate, who was going to release him, but then you insisted that he not release him, and you traded him for a murderer. They wanted Barabbas.
Exactly.
Instead of Yeshua. Now think about that. They traded the Son of God, the author of life, the Lord of life, for a murderer. And Peter just hammers this to them, and he says, well, you put to death the Lord of glory.
Yeah.
Talk about sending a chill through the crowd.
Yeah, you know, it makes me think of what we talked about a few, well, maybe about a month ago on the show, is about how Satan always gets to try, always tries to get us to exchange the glory of God's riches, the glory of God's kingdom, which we inherit, for a lie.
Yeah.
And this is a, great example of how Satan works. In Peter's, in what Peter is saying is, you know, you put to death the Son of Glory.
Yeah.
And you, and in return, you got released a criminal who was a murderer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who can't give you anything.
Yeah.
And that's what Satan does. He tries to get us to exchange that through sin, which God, right, you know, which God has in place for us, the riches of his kingdom, that inheritance that we've inherited through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He tries to get us to trade that in for a lie.
Mm.
He's not going to give it. Satan's not going to give us anything. It's an empty promise. It's nothing. But Jesus gives us eternal life. And that's exactly what Peter is, you know, getting at here. You guys traded the gift of eternal life. You killed the Messiah who was in your midst, and you got a murderer and a robber instead.
Oh, wow. That's very well put. Very well put. Satan always presents a counterfeit.
Exactly.
You know, what Satan presents to you leads to death.
Mm-hmm.
And what Jesus presents to you leads to life.
Yeah.
You know, as he said, I've come to bring life and bring it more abundantly. Satan comes with a clever scheme.
Mm-hmm.
And he did it with Eve. You know, he kind of approached Eve in a way that he knew how she was going to fail, and he's much smarter, much stronger than she was, is,
very
than
clever.
We are. Very clever, presents an argument, and he uses the same approach all through history, all through scriptural history and even physical history, right down to our time, where we hear things that people say, well, isn't it reasonable that this should be the truth and that should be the truth and this can't possibly be right? And people say, well, you know, that can't possibly be right. I think
that's old stuff.
That's old stuff.
That happened a long time ago. This is truth now. We got it all figured out. Yeah.
Yeah. So Satan presents the counterfeit, presents the lie, you know, eventually and sometime in the future, probably near future, he'll present an antichrist And people are going to say, wow, this guy is awesome. This guy is so smart, and he's so loving and compassionate, and he really understands how we can fix the world. And, you know, he presents a counterfeit that leads to death.
Yeah.
And so Peter basically tells these guys, you wanted a murderer instead of eternal life. You presented him to this unclean Gentile ruler, and he is your Messiah. The Messiah that was promised to our people, you turned over to this unclean Gentile, and you denied the Messiah in front of this unclean Gentile. And even this out of covenant unclean Gentile recognized that there was no guilt in this man, that he hadn't done anything wrong. He hadn't broken any laws. He hadn't committed any sin. So I'm going to let him go. But you guys said, oh no, you can't let him go. You can't be Caesar's friend if you let him go.
Yeah.
It's, you know, talk about getting cut to the heart.
Yeah.
Woo.
Yeah. You're no friend of Caesar if you do that. And they turn the heat up on him.
Yeah. And, you know, we're going to talk about the prophet from Deuteronomy because that's a powerful thing. But before I talk about that, you know, he connects this to one of the promises that's made to Abraham. And we talked about this a little bit in, at one in Messiah last week or the week before, but last week, but, or maybe it was 2 weeks ago. I don't know, but it doesn't matter. But the thing is one of the promises to Abraham is that all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed through him.
Yeah.
Which is remarkable. At the time Abraham got this promise, he was a 75-year-old guy who didn't have any children. He was rich and he had a lot of flocks and stuff. And he had, you know, the book of Hebrews says Abraham and Sarah were as good as dead.
I was just going to say.
Yeah. That's pretty snotty. But anyway.
So great eyes.
Yeah. That would hurt their self-esteem. and everything. But,
Yeah, you couldn't say that nowadays.
Yeah. But this promise, the last promise that comes to Abraham is all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed through you. Now, if you're looking at a 75-year-old man who's, you know, standing around in the Middle East, 2,500 years ago or whatever it was, how in the world are all the nations of the earth going to be blessed through this guy? But now we know, looking back at it, that this was about Messiah coming from his own people, coming from Abraham, coming biologically from Abraham and his descendants, to then bringing salvation to the whole world, to every nation experiencing salvation, because old Abraham has a descendant who's the Messiah. And he tells them this in, you know, not exactly those words, but basically what he's telling them. And Messiah came for you guys first. You experienced him before anybody else can experience him, and you rejected him.
Yeah.
So now, therefore, the message is going to go to the nations.
Mm-hmm.
Woo.
Yeah. I mean, in both of these accounts, Peter's speech right at Pentecost and this one at the Gate Beautiful, you know, like we said, he gets right to the heart of the matter of what took place, and he points everything back to the Lord. He points everything back to Jesus, because he's the Messiah. And Peter makes, you know, he doesn't make any apologies for preaching Christ and him crucified.
Yes.
He doesn't make any apologies for telling them, in truth, you put him to death.
Mm-hmm.
You had the opportunity to Pilate was going to hand him over back to you, but you asked for a murderer instead.
Yeah, that's very powerful.
You know, It's very powerful. And the truth, you know, sometimes, a lot of times the truth can be very, the truth is always very powerful. And sometimes it's so powerful that it overwhelms us.
Yes.
And in our culture, you know, how much, well, I should say, how many times do you see people shy away from speaking the truth because they don't want to offend someone?
Exactly.
Or, I don't want to hurt somebody's feelings.
Yes.
Well, you know, being nice to someone and not hurting their feelings doesn't mean that they're going to end up in heaven.
Exactly.
And it really doesn't mean that you're really their friend.
Yeah, that's right. You may be preventing them from getting into heaven by trying not to hurt their feelings.
Exactly. By not hurting their feelings and going, well, you know what? I don't want to offend them. I don't want to be rude to them. Well, it might just be the push that they need to wake up out of the sleep that they're in or the slumber that they're in.
Yeah.
Because their eyes are blind.
Yeah.
You know, as you say a lot of times, people may think you're narrow-minded or, you know, you're bigger than that, those type of things. But what a lot of people don't fail to realize is that I wasn't always following the Lord.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I participated in a lot of the things of the world that led to sin and death.
Mm-hmm.
So when I talk about my relationship with Jesus Christ and when I speak the truth to somebody, it's not because I've been a churchgoer from the cradle. It's because I wandered away, and by the grace of God, He brought me back. And I've been where you're at. I've been there, and I'm trying to tell you, don't go there.
Yes.
You know, it's like you're traveling. If I can talk, as I'm driving, you're traveling down the highway, and it says left two lanes closed ahead. And everybody just speeds up because they want to be the first one.
Wait a minute, I still do that.
Now, I know I'm going to offend a lot of drivers, but I do a lot of traveling, and it's amazing. And sometimes I'm one of those drivers that wants to get a vehicle ahead of somebody. But it's like, we don't use our common sense to just go, okay, well, let's just get in line and then traffic will keep flowing and it'll be a little easier.
Yeah.
Or, you know, if there's a bridge out, would you go through the road closed sign if there was a bridge out because you just simply didn't believe it?
Yeah.
You know, that would be absurd.
Yeah.
But yet that's what people do. We're telling them, hey, that's the wrong direction. It's going to lead to destruction. And you're just a downer.
Yeah.
You know, you're ruining all my fun and my freedom.
Yeah. People that think God is a cosmic killjoy.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're at a break. Now, this really is Paul Wilbur. Remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be right back.
At the sound of your great name, all condemned, feel no shame. At the sound of your great name, every fear has no place. At the sound of your great name, the enemy has to leave. At the sound of your great name, Jesus, worthy is the Lamb that was slain for us. Son of God and man, you are high and lifted up, and all the world will praise your great.
Great name, I believe, they find their strength, at the show of your great name.
Jesus, Son of God and man, you are high and lifted up, and all the world will praise your great name, your great name, your great
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. Stephen's here in the studio.
And that was Paul Wilbur.
That was not Chris Tomlin.
No.
Or maybe it was Chris Tomlin imitating Paul Wilbur.
That might be.
Ooh. No, that was Minor Court. Does Chris Tomlin know any Minor Courts?
I'm sure he does. Maybe we should have him on the show one of these days.
When I went to his concert here downtown last November, I wanted to run up on the stage and say, hey, would you like to be on our radio show? But I figured, security probably would have tackled me.
You think?
Yeah, he's not as approachable as Paul Wilbur and Marty Goetz are.
Anyway,
so Peter connects all this to Abraham about the promises and talks about how God made promises to the patriarchs and came through the prophets, and Messiah had come to them first. So Peter's talking to them as fellow Jews. They have the same heritage. They have the same scripture. They have the same traditions.
Yes.
And you guys should have understood this, but you really blew it and you wanted to preserve this murderer. So Peter's basically telling them, look, Jesus not only was the Messiah, not only was the Savior, but he's healed this guy right in front of you. And now, God's plans are being fulfilled despite what you think. And so, just like he told the people at Pentecost morning, repent and be baptized, he tells this group, you have to repent and be converted. Mm. They had to believe. They had to change their lives. They had to have metanoia.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a little different, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because that conversion of heart, that metanoia, is a change of heart.
Yeah.
And that's what Peter's asking. He's saying, you have to do this.
Yeah.
You have to change your heart. And that's when Jesus talks about the parable of the sower, when he's talking about the good and fertile soil that will, when the word of God hears it and it falls upon it and takes root, it's going to bear 30, 60, 100-fold yield.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is what Peter is telling them, that if your heart is not converted,
mm-hmm.
You're going to fall back into your former ways.
Yeah.
And the word of God that you're hearing right now, the word that's being preached to you, isn't going to take root, and it's not going to bear a harvest for the kingdom.
Yeah.
Because that's what all this evangelization is all about.
That's what it's about.
It's
and still is about today.
Yes. It's not about... it's not about, hey man, I got the great ministry and I'm doing this and I'm doing that. It's about a harvest of souls for the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he wants.
Yeah. That's the big fruit.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he says, if you do believe and you are converted, he said, then there's going to be times of refreshing.
Awesome.
You're going to have new life. You're going to have redemption. And your sins are going to be blotted out.
Yeah.
So if you believe, if you're converted, if you repent, your sins are going to be blotted out. They're going to be, blotted out is different than, just kind of covering them up, or they're going to be blotted out. Your sin's not going to be left. It's going to be taken care of. It's like the word says, even though they're like crimson, your sins are like crimson, they're going to be white as snow.
Yeah. And, in both instances, we talked about this last week, Peter doesn't say, well, you guys better get down to the temple, call the high priest, and do a sacrifice because you need to make atonement for your sins.
Yeah, good point.
Jesus already made the atonement for the sins.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just an awesome transformation of the old covenant mm-hmm. to the new covenant.
Exactly.
That Jesus ratifies in his own
exactly.
blood.
Exactly. And Peter being, you know, he would have done a great job at winning Messiah.
Oh.
Because he goes back to Deuteronomy 18, and I know you all know this, about the, quote, the prophet, capital P. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of times where it, you know, when it, Peter's thing of when Jesus says, who do men say that I am? Somebody says, you're the prophet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, which prophet? He's talking about Deuteronomy 18, that God's going to raise up a prophet with a capital P from his brethren, and you're going to do what he tells you to do. And if you don't hear the prophet, every soul who doesn't hear that prophet will be utterly destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, somebody's coming, which Moses calls the prophet with a capital P. Do what he says. Listen to what he says. If you don't listen to what he says, you're going to be utterly destroyed.
Yeah.
So he's talking about the Messiah. So Peter quotes this and says, this is who Yeshua was. This is who Jesus was. You guys didn't want to listen to him. You guys didn't want to submit to him. You wanted him killed. You took him to Gentiles. You traded him in for a murderer. Now, there's still time to be converted. He didn't say you're damned.
Mm-hmm.
He said repent and be converted.
Yeah.
And you'll have times of refreshing.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, what's extended to them is the mercy of God for which Jesus died and rose from the dead.
Exactly.
You know, it's so that when one person repents and converts or turns to God and God has mercy on that person, God's mercy is glorified.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's not that somebody's getting off scot-free and, wow, geez, how's that possible? You know, what's really looked at is the God of all creation is showing mercy to someone who doesn't deserve it, but has obtained it, but Christ has obtained it for him by the shedding of his own blood.
Mm.
And, you know, that's the awesomeness of the new and eternal covenant that Jesus ratifies in his own blood,
mm-hmm.
is that if we turn to him with all of our heart, repent of our sins and ask for forgiveness, he gives it to us.
Yeah. Yeah. And Peter says here, repent, be converted, and your sins will be blotted out.
Yeah. I mean, blotted out.
And you get refreshing time, a time of refreshing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's talk about second chances and third chances and fourth chances
and fifth and sixth. Your
sins are blotted out.
Yeah. It's amazing.
Wow, the show's over already.
It is. And I just got here.
You just got here. Oh, man. Anyway, hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we just pray that as Peter addresses the Jewish community there in the Acts of the Apostles, that your heart, too, would be filled with the Holy Spirit and to repent of sin and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out and wiped away in the name of Jesus. God bless everyone. Have a great week. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.